Good morning. Hope you guys are still enjoying the benefits of Sleep Late Friday and liquid sunshine on top of that. That's a very good combination to start off your Friday morning. Well, we have another chance this morning to come back and look at God's precious promises of grace for us. We have another chance to see that at the heart of Christianity is a faithful promiser. God says, I'm faithful, I'm steadfast, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And that promise to us enables us to hold fast to our profession to Him. And we've had some great promises this week. We've seen from Isaiah 43 that God promises us His gracious presence, that He'll never leave us and never forsake us, that when we pass through the hardest, most trying times of our lives, He is not an arm's length away. He is right there with us. And we also saw that God promises for weak and needy and powerless people all-sufficient grace. You name your weakness, God's grace meets you at the point of your weakness and need. And yesterday we saw from Galatians that God doesn't just promise us presence and grace, but He promises to adopt us into His most intimate family. That the lens for viewing your relationship with God is not that of a slave, but as a child. Not as an orphan in foster care trying to prove your adoptability, but part of God's most intimate family. And His Spirit cries out within us, God, You are our Father, and we can have intimacy and delight and relationship with You. Well, this morning I want to take a look at another promise of God from Scripture. And this is from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It says this, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, who are eager to do good. I told you earlier in this week that my wife and I moved from Nashville, where I was teaching at a high school, to go to seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. And I was anticipating this new course of study is going to be a Master of Divinity, pretty big deal. And I'm going to my first day of class. I've been through orientation. I've bought all of my books. I'm starting to meet my classmates. I'm getting my first class, Covenant Theology, the first class of this Master's of Divinity program. And the teacher is kind of doing what you do on the first day of class. He hands out your syllabus, starts talking about the course requirements and expectations and what you're going to study. And I noticed that he just kind of skipped over this big paragraph at the top of the syllabus. And I started to read that a little bit more closely because I thought it might be important. And as I was reading it, I found out that on that first day of class, my first day as a theology student, my first day as a Master of Divinity student, I was already expected to have read for this class three books, each over 250 pages. And he just kind of glossed over that. He just assumed that we'd already read these books and that we already knew them and that we were going to be held accountable for them. And I was waiting for other people in the class to read that paragraph and to be this outcry against the teacher. Do you know what you're asking of us? We didn't even get the assignment ahead of time. This is crazy. And I'm looking around and no one bats an eye. No one raises a hand. No one does anything. The assumption was we already knew this stuff. We had no need to be taught this stuff or even be told that we were assigned this stuff ahead of time. And so I'm just thinking, this is the craziest thing in the world. I'm expected to know this even though I never had been taught or been informed of this. I want you to think for a second about a baby that's learning to walk. We're expecting a child in October. We're excited about that. And I remember when Sam and Mary Gray were learning to walk, what we'd do is they would kind of stand up after being crawling and they'd take a step and then they'd fall down. And of course, what we'd do is we'd spank them and say, you will never fall down again. Right? We said, you should know how to walk because you're a speakman. No, we didn't do any of that. Like, what you do when a baby's learning to walk, if they even stand, you get about 50,000 photos of it. You take a YouTube video. You tell everyone, you rejoice, and you delight and you praise in the fact that this child is trying to walk. Right? And you publish it to everyone. So many times I think in our relationships to God, we think that God assumes that we already know and are already accountable for stuff that we never even have been taught. And we feel like there is no freedom to show up and not have it all together. We assume so many times that our relationship to God is one big audition in which we need to prove to Him that we're capable, we're adoptable, we're lovable, we are worthy of His grace and His trust. And so we show up thinking we've got to be on task with something to commend ourselves to Him. And the way I envision a lot of our Christian lives is that we're on this huge tightrope over this huge abyss, and we've got further and further and further to fall, and we're just trying to take the first step, trying not to fail. And we have never even been taught how to walk on the tightrope. What is God's promise for us this morning from this passage? He promises us teaching grace. And notice the order of it. He says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. In other words, God reaches out and claims you as His child and says, I'm not going to let go. You are part of the family. You are mine, He says. He secures your relationship, your status, His love for you. And then, what does He do? It says, God's grace teaches us to live upright, self-controlled, and godly lives. It assumes you know nothing. It assumes that you don't show up with anything in your hands to commend yourself or to walk the Christian walk. And then it assures you of teaching grace. Grace that doesn't just save you and forgive you and is there when you mess up, but it teaches you in this process, this lifelong process, to live out humanity as God has designed you to live and to enjoy it. That is great news this morning, isn't it? Because what it means is God is patient. He's not in a hurry to get you perfect. He's not in a frantic, wild, overbearing mode to try to get you right. He's patient with you as a parent is with a child learning to walk. And He's realistic. He knows that you're needy. He knows that you're weak. He knows that you don't know anything. He knows also that you're capable of learning, so that's why He teaches you. It also says that He's got a vision as this teacher, that He wants you to live a self-controlled, upright, godly life. Now, that might be code language for you of boring. But what it means to God is full, abundant, joyous, hopeful, rich life that you are intended to have before the creation of the world. And then it gives us motivation, right? He isn't just patient, realistic, and has a vision. He gives us motivation. His grace and salvation are what gets you into the process of being taught. And it's what assures the process will come to a conclusion. It says we wait for Jesus to come back and make it all right. So what does that tell us about the Christian life and God's promise of teaching grace? That the Christian life is not automatic. It's not something that you show up and just have down. But you need teaching. You need patient instruction in a process. It also means you're not going to be perfect. That you still need the fuel of grace, the motivation of grace, and you never outgrow that need. And that's not bad news. It also tells us that it's not easy. Have you ever tried to do something new? It's not easy at all. Some people have said that the Christian life has not been tried and found lacking, but it's been found difficult and left untried. God promises teaching grace to the process of learning how to live out the grace that He's put into your heart. Here's the deal. A lot of us, we just don't want to look foolish. We don't want to risk failure. We don't want to risk embarrassment. We would hate to have people know that we don't have comfort and control, and so we don't want to be laughed at. So we just stick to things that are manageable and easy and within our effortless, quick study comfort zone. But what God promises is, I'm going to lead you into places of difficulty, but I'm going to lead you in those places of difficulty and give you teaching grace that will teach you that process of growing up in My grace. My daughter, Mary Gray, is involved in gymnastics. And I remember several years ago, she was at the Lake Norman YMCA, a couple blocks from our house there in Davidson. And she was doing recreational gymnastics, and she was learning how to do a forward roll and a handstand and that sort of stuff. And one of the coaches of the Y Angels gymnastics team came up and said, Mary Gray, would you like to be on our team? And Mary Gray accepted the invitation. She was a part of the team. And then they gave her the team leotard, this just unbelievably bright red and silver speckled thing that she would wear that said Angels on the front of it. She was a part of the Angels. She had the team leotard. And then they gave her the team warm-up, and she bought the team bag that had her name and Y Angels on it. She was on the team. And what did they start doing once she was on the team? They started teaching her more and more and more. And so that handstand turned into a walkover. And that walkover turned into a standing back handspring. And now she's learning. And there's a momentum to the teaching of it. Now, if she messes up in practice, they say, turn back in your leotard, get back your warm-up suit, you're off the team. No, they say, hey, let's try it again, because you're part of the team. God's grace comes to you this morning and says, you're on the team. And here's all the benefits of being on the team. And the best benefit of being on the team is patient, visionary, realistic, motivating, teaching grace that promises to equip you to live out the Christian life. The question is not today, are you in need of teaching? You are. The question is, will you reach out and accept God's teaching grace that says it's appeared to give you salvation, but it's also appeared to teach you to live an upright, godly life in this present age as you wait for the perfection of that grace at the coming of our Lord Jesus. God's promise for us this morning, teaching grace. Let me pray for us as we go. Lord, we thank you for your patience. We thank you for your care. We thank you for your vision for our life. Lord, we thank you that you have made us a part of your team, a part of your most intimate family. We pray that truth would lift up our heads. It'd give us patience with ourselves. It'd give us courage to try. It'd give us the freedom to fail. It'd also give us the freedom to struggle and battle against sin and experience the victory that you promised for us when you come back once again. We pray it all in your name. Amen.